Someone asked me if we're going to be speaking about two different Rabbi Akivas, one spelled with an aleph and one spelled with a hey. And the answer is no, we're going to speak about the same one. But hopefully we will see that the spelling of Rabbi Akiva's name with an aleph or with a hey is merames. It hints to us two different aspects of Rabbi Akiva's life. We are in the midst of Sfiras HaOmer, and during the first 33 days of the Omer, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis that 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva unfortunately lost their lives, and there was a danger at that time that Torah would be totally forgotten from Klal Yisrael with the loss of all of these Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Until it says that Rabbi Akiva took, according to the Gemara in Yevamos, five Talmidim, or actually there's a Medrash in Koheles that says there were seven Talmidim, and he gave them smicha, and he taught Torah to those five Talmidim. Veheim hamidu Torah ba'os hashoah. And those five Talmidim were able to keep the Torah going. If not, the Torah was at a critical juncture at that moment in history. Chas v'shalom, the whole Torah could have been destroyed with no one knowing Torah. Those five Talmidim were able to perpetuate Torah until our time today. One of those five Talmidim was Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and we know on Lag BaOmer there's a big big celebration in Meron because Lag BaOmer is also the day when Rav Shimon ben Yochai passed away from this world. And even though for us in the world it's a sad day when a tzaddik goes away, but when the tzaddik's neshama goes to Olam Haba, it's called a Yom HaDehilula. There's a great joy in heaven when a tzaddik comes to the next world. And so it has become a day of celebration on his yahrzeit, and especially that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was the one who was the mechaber of the Zohar. The Zohar are the secrets of the Torah, and therefore this is all part of the Yom HaDehilula, the celebration on Lag BaOmer. Now there is a machlokas how the name of Rabbi Akiva is spelled. Is it spelled with an aleph or with a hey? In fact, there are those who say that if a woman marries someone whose name is Akiva, she should get two ksubas. She only gets, if God forbid, she would only get one time the money. But but to be safe that she's getting it spelled the right way, she would get one ksuba with Akiva with an aleph and one ksuba with Akiva with a hey. There is a sefer called the Or Zeruah. It was written by someone called Rabbi Yitzchak Mivin. He came from Vienna, Austria. And usually when a person writes a sefer, if his name is Yitzchak, he would make a name, Birchas Yitzchak, Yad Yitzchak, something with his name in it. Here he took a name, Or Zeruah. Why did he take this name? So the reason is, he writes in the introduction, the Agdama to his sefer, because he had a dream about this question. Is Rabbi Akiva's name spelled with aleph, or is it spelled with a hey? And in his dream, there came an answer from Shemayim, from heaven. And it was based on this pasuk, which, by the way, we say this pasuk in the davening, Kabbalah Shabbos, before L'chadoidi, we say this pasuk, Or Zeruah L'Tzadik, U'L'Yishrei Lev Simcha. We also say it by Kol Nidrei. If you take the last letters of these words, Oyer is a resh, that's for Rebbe. Zeruah is an ayin. Latzadik, kuf. Uli yishre, yud. Lev, beis. Simcha, hey. It spells out Rabbi Akiva, the last letters of these words. So he saw from this that Rabbi Akiva's name is supposed to be spelled with a hey. And he had such simcha, he had such joy that he had found out the answer to this difficult question that he named his sefer on this pasuk, Or Zerua Latzadik Yisrael Simchi called the Sefer Or Zerua. The Chidah, who was one of the great Gedolim, in his Sefer called Shem HaGedolim, he brings actually, although there's a hint here for a hey, Rabbi Akiva, there's other psukim that hint hey, but there's other psukim that hint aleph. So it's still not a resolved question, whether it's with an aleph and a hey. Now, what we're going to discover is that that both have some validity to it, both the aleph and the hay. And as we mentioned at the beginning of this year, there was an aspect of Rabbi Akiva's life with a hay, there was an aspect with aleph. A very interesting thing, which Rav Schlesinger called parparois l'chochma, which means before you get into a meal, you eat an appetizer. So this is like an appetizer before we're going to get into the meal. The appetizer is that the pasuk or zaruah latzadik uli yishrei lev simcha, which means there's a light is planted, seeded for the tzaddik, and those who have a pure heart will have joy. And if you take the next pasuk, simchu tzaddikim b'Hashem, tzaddikim, you should have joy in Hashem, v'hoidu l'zecher kachoy, and you should give thanks to the remembrance of His holiness. If you take all of these words together, of these two psukim, they spell out exactly the same as Rabbi Akiva spelled with an aleph. And as Rabbi is spelled Resh Beis Yud, then Akiva with an aleph, Rabbi Akiva with a hey. Now out comes the five talmidim. Even though we said, according to one opinion, there's seven Talmidim, but normally we go that there were five Talmidim that he gave the Torah over to. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yehuda. And if I took the time to figure it out numerically, and if you take the time, you'll come to the same thing. It comes out exactly to 2,995. And you don't have to, sometimes people, it's off by one, so you say that the word itself you could count as one. Here it's exactly, you don't have to come on to anything. So it's like an unbelievable thing that in this pasuk of Oyer Zeruah Latzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha, and the next pasuk, Simchu Tzadikim Bashem, Vahoydu Lezecher Kachoy, you have exactly the numerical value, 2,995, which equals Rabbi Akiva with an aleph, Rabbi Akiva with a hey, and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Blazer, and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Sefer Tzvi Latzadik, who says this fabulous gematria, he says, now that we know that these psukim are meramas on Rabbi Akiva with an aleph and a hey, and his five talmidim, we understand better pshat in these psukim, because the psukim mean as follows: Or Zeruah Latzadik. You know who the tzaddik is? Rabbi Akiva. Whether you spell with aleph, with hey, there's a light for him. Why? Because although he had 24,000 talmidim that passed away, he was able to give the Torah over to five talmidim that kept the Torah going. Now it says in the pasuk, "Baboker zera zaracha." If a person has children when he's young, or Talmidim are also considered children, he should still have children when he grows up. He should still have Talmidim when he grows up. Why? Because he doesn't know his Talmidim, Chasr Shalom, maybe they'll go off the Derech, or they'll die, like in the case of Rabbi Akiva, his own children, maybe something bad will happen to them. So just because you had children or talmidim when you're young, you should have them when you're old also. So who's an example of that? Rabbi Akiva. Or Zeruah Latzadik. The tzaddik Rabbi Akiva had a light because he didn't stop having talmidim. Somebody else, after he made 24,000 talmidim, and they all got wiped out, so he would give up. No, I'm going to try keeping it going. And this time it worked. With the next five, he had Zera, he had children, he had Talmidim. So, Or Zeruah Latzadik, there's a big light to this Tzadik. Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. What was the reason that the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died? Because Shaloi Noagu Kavod Zelazel, they didn't give respect one to the other. The gematria of the word Kavod, respect, is 32. The gematria of the word Lev is 32. Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha, the word Simcha, if you change the letters around, is Chamisha. The same as Chamisha. So those five Talmidim, why did they survive and the 24,000 died? Because they didn't have the problem that they didn't give kavod one to another. They were Yishrei Lev. They were straight of heart. They had a good heart. They did give kavod one to the other. So then the pasuk says, Simchu Tzadikim Bashem. If you were no a kavod one to the other, now we can have a yontiv. Now we're going to have the yontiv of Lag BaOmer. Simchu Tzadikim Bashem, v'hoydu l'zecher kotshoi. Lag BaOmer comes out on what's called Hoyd Shebahoyd. There's seven, these are mystical things, but in every week of the Sfira, there is another mystical counting. That week, there's Teferes and Hoyd and Netzach. These are all above our level, mystical things. But it comes out, there's like seven, you can have Hoyd Shebah Netzach and Hoyd Shebah Teferes, and it comes out that Lag BaOmer works out exactly Hoyd Shebah Hoyd. So, the Hoydu L'Zeicher Kotshoi. On that day, Lag BaOmer, when we have a great Simcha, and we'll see, one of the aspects of the Simcha is the five Talmidim who survived, so that comes out on that day, which is in this seven Sfiros that they're called, the seven spheres, different kinds of spheres, mystical spheres. It's Hod Shebahod, the Hoydu. So in other words, this is a very beautiful remez on Rabbi Akiva with his five Talmidim. And now let's go into it a little deeper. The Mechaber says that if a person wants to take a haircut or shave, they have to do it on the 34th day of the Omer. Because the first 33 days, the Talmidim were dying. They died on the, as we'll soon see, the whole Cheshbon, they died on the 33rd day also. The Rama says, no, you could already start shaving as we do on the 33rd on Lag BaOmer itself. So the Pri Chodesh asks, we find by Lag BaOmer two things happen. One, why don't we shave a whole Sfira till Lag BaOmer? There's two different customs. One custom is from Pesach on till Lag BaOmer you don't shave. The reason is we're in Avelis, we're in mourning. Like someone who lost a relative, you don't shave. So on Lag BaOmer we stop the Avelis, we start shaving, we listen to music. And also, not only do we stop the Avelis, but we are in joy. It's a happy day. Lag BaOmer is like a mini yontif. So let's go first on the aspect that we stop shaving and we start taking a haircut and we start shaving. So the Pri Chodesh asks, what's the big joy over here? Oh, you know what the joy is? Because the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died from Pesach until Lag BaOmer. They stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, so we're happy. But one second, what are we so happy about? 24,000 Talmidim. The 24,000 Talmidim died and they stopped dying. You know why they stopped dying? Because there was unfortunately nobody left to die. If there would have been 25,000 Talmidim and 24,000 died, but at least 1,000 were left, so then it would be a joy that, oh, Baruch Hashem, at least 1,000 were left. But the 24,000 stopped dying because there was nobody else left that had to die. So what's the big joy? Asks the Sefer Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh answers, the joy is those five. Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha, Simcha, which equals Chamisha, that they were Noye Kavod, which is equal Lev, the same numerical value, 32. Those five, at least, they survived. That's what our joy is about. It's a little difficult because it would seem that the joy is in the 24,000 itself. But this is what the Pri Chodesh says. Now there's a Sefer Maram Mipana in his Sefer Mayim Ganim. He says, he doesn't bring a source, but he says the way Lag BaOmer was on the year when the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died was the same as we had it this year. What was special, if you remember, this Pesach we had Erev Pesach, Shechal L'Yos B'Shabbos. Shabbos was Erev Pesach, the Seder was Shabbos night. And Lag BaOmer was on when? On Friday. So he says like this, and how many Shabbosim were there between the beginning of Pesach until Lag BaOmer? There were three, like this year. There was Parshas Kedoshim, Parshas Emor, Parshas Bahar. Parshas Bechukosai, last week's Parsha, was already the day after Lag BaOmer, because Lag BaOmer was on Friday. So it comes out from the first 33 days of the Sfira, when the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died, they don't die on a Shabbos or a Yontif. Because there's no Midas Hadin, there's no judgment on Shabbos and Yontif. So you have 33 days, minus 6 days of Pesach, plus the three Shabboses is 9 days. 33 minus 9 is 24. It comes out that on all, each of the 24 days that was possible that they should be Nifter, 1,000 died. That's how you get a total of 24,000. So ask the Pri Chodesh, so why in fact is, do we, are we allowed to shave on Lag BaOmer, take a haircut on Lag BaOmer, listen to music on Lag BaOmer? On Lag BaOmer itself, 1,000 died according to this calculation. 33 minus 9 is 6 Yom Tovim and 3 Shabbosim. But on Lag BaOmer, Friday, they died. So why are we allowed to shave and take Erica and listen to music already on Lag BaOmer? So he answers, because if Lag BaOmer, as it did this year, falls out on a Friday, Lekovit Shabbos, we always know, in the honor of Shabbos, we allow a person, when such a thing comes out on Friday, we allow him to shave. We have a rule called Mixas Hayom Kekuloi. A little bit of a day is considered like the whole day. That's why, really, you shouldn't take a haircut at night. You should wait till the next day after davening. Go and take a haircut. You already did a little bit of the day. We already considered as if you kept the whole 33rd day. Why do we use this leniency? Because after all, it's L'Kovit Shabbos. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to take a haircut or shave for Shabbos. Therefore, you're allowed. And since when Friday is Lag BaOmer, we're going to give you this leniency. We already gave you the leniency for all of Lag BaOmer. Even if Lag BaOmer comes out on Thursday or Sunday, you already have this leniency. So really, we should have kept, like the Mechaber says, they died the first 33 days, minus 9. They died 1,000 each day. They died on Lag BaOmer also. But since of Erev Shabbos, when that's Lag BaOmer, so we allow a leniency every time Lag BaOmer, you're already allowed to take a shave and a haircut. But then he asked the question, okay, now we know why you could stop your Avelus, your mourning, on Lag BaOmer, even though they died on Lag BaOmer. But why, he asked the same question as the Pri Chodesh. What's the Simcha? Why do we make it into a Yontif? They stopped dying because there was nobody else left to die. What's the joy? So he gives a different answer. Before we said because of the five Talmidim. He gives an answer that Chas V'Shalom, Rabbi Akiva himself could have died. And the Simcha is that Rabbi Akiva stayed alive. And that's why in Meron, Rabbi Schlesinger mentioned, if you see the people dancing, not only do they dance because of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but they sing the song, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Lifnei mi atem etar mi metar, Ashrechim Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem etar mi metar. Ask them, who are you making yourself pure in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're in such joy because Rabbi Akiva himself survived and didn't get killed. And that's the joy. Now, in this year, the way it comes out, it comes out that because it's a leap year, we read Bechukosai separate from Bahar. We just read Bechukosai by itself. In this Parsha, Bechukosai, at the end of the Parsha, which was read by Lag BaOmer, was read right before Parsha Bechukosai, the week of Parsha B'chukosai. At the end of the Parsha, there's a pasuk where a great Hasidic Gadol said there is a remes for Rabbi Akiva. His name was Rab Shamshon Ostropoler. And he goes on the pasuk, which says, V'chol maser bokur v'tzon, kol asher yavor tachas ha-shavat, ha-siri yekodesh Hashem. This pasuk speaks about maser behema. When you have a flock, you're supposed to give to the Kohen every year. You have to bring a korban every year, one-tenth of your flock. It goes in a pen. It goes through a door where you can only go one at a time. The tenth one you mark with a red marking, and that one is brought as a korban to Hashem. So the pasuk says, every tenth one of your sheep and your cattle, whatever goes under the shevet means the stick, ho asiri, the tenth one, yekodesh l'Hashem. Said Rav Shamshon Ostropoler, this refers, you know what, this is a remez to the Asora Haruge Malchus. We lost 10 great tzaddikim, the Goyim tortured and killed, which we say on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the Eila Esker, the 10 great tzaddikim that were killed. Why were they killed? They were killed Tachas HaShevet, because they represented the 10 Shvatim who were busy with Mechiras Yosef. There had to be a punishment for Mechiras Yosef for selling Yosef. So they represented, the Shevet means the stick, but a Shevet means the tribe also. The 10 tribes. But wait a second. What do you mean 10 tribes? There's only 9. Because Yosef was the one who they sold. Binyamin wasn't born yet. And Reuven was away. So 12 minus 9, 3 is 9. So why do you have 10? So the way Rab Shamshon Ostropoler says it is like this. V'chol maser bokur v'tzon. He takes the word v'chol maser, and it stands for a few words. Vav chaf stands for v'chi lamid loma mem meis ayin akiva shin rei shahaya roya, and then the pasuk continues bokur v'tzon. The word v'chol maser bokur v'tzon stands for v'chi loma meis akiva shahaya roya bokur v'tzon. Why did Akiva die? Why? Because Akiva comes from a family of Gerim. So his family had nothing to do. He didn't come originally from Klal Yisrael. He came from a family of Gerim. So why should Rabbi, if the whole reason that we're taking the Asor al Ruge Malchus is a forgiveness for the sin of selling Yosef, Akiva came from a family of Gerim. He had nothing to do with it. So the Pasuk is asking, what's Akiva's problem? Why is he getting killed? The answer is because Ha'asiri Yiyeh Kodesh L'Hashem, the tenth one, Akiva, he's instead of Hashem. Because the Medrash says that when the 9 Shvatim said that Yosef should be killed, and then they said, no, let's sell him, they made a pact between them, and they said no one should reveal what we're doing. And Hashem was sitting with them and agreed with them. Hashem had his own reasons why he wanted Yosef to go to Mitzrayim. As we know what happened later in history, that through that, Klal Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim. So Hashem agreed with the 9 Shvatim. So he, so to speak, Kaviyachol, he was involved in the Mechira as well. So who replaced Hashem? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, that's what the pasuk says. V'chol maser bokur v'tzoyim, kol asher yavor tachas ha-shevet. So we ask the question, why Rabbi Akiva should not replace any other shevet? The answer is, asiri yekodesh l'Hashem. The tenth one represents Hashem himself. So from this medrash, from this pshat of Rabbi Shamshon Ostropoler, we already begin to see what Akiva with Aleph is. Akiva with a Hey should be very simple. You know what Akiva with a Hey means? That's the 5 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But Akiva with an Aleph, because we're going to see that Akiva represents Aleph. He represents Hashem Echad, the one and only, where the unity, Hashem is totally unified. There's no splinter. There's no halves of Chas V'Shalom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which was in fact was the words that Rabbi Akiva said when he was killed at the end of his life, his neshama went out with the word Echad. So the Aleph for Rabbi Akiva represents Hashem, and as we see from this chart of Rabbi Shamshon Ostropoler, that Akiva in his death actually is not representing the Shevet, he's representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now, the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, he went around Eretz Yisrael, and he showed where different tzaddikim were buried. And we only know that this kever is this tzaddik's kever from Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. He was able to tell whose kever each one was. And two of the kvorim that he revealed to us was, one was Rabbi Akiva, and one was Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato. And they're buried right near each other. And some say that the neshama of Rabbi Akiva was in Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, that there's a connection between them. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato wrote the famous sefer called Mesillas Yesharim. And in the Mesillas Yesharim, he says the following words. V'hine, masharanu chachamenu zal, what our rabbis have taught us is, Sheha Adam Loi Nivra Lis Anegal Hashem. What's the purpose of this whole world? That we should have pleasure from Hashem. Vilehanois Miziv Shchinasoi, and to enjoy the Shchina of Hashem, which we'll get in Olam Haba. Shezehu Hatainu Koamiti. This is the greatest pleasure that a person can experience. Vaha Idun Hagodo Mikolo Idunim Shiyukhalim Limatsai. And the greatest pleasure that a person could find in the world is to get close to Hashem. So you'll notice that Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato used here two words which are like synonyms. One is oineg and one is idun. They both mean joy. Then continues Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, umokoim ho idun hazeh be'emes u'oilam abo. Where does a person get this pleasure? He doesn't get it here eating steaks or having vacations. That's not the pleasure that we're talking about. But rather, it's in the world to come. Ki hua nivra b'chonam etztarekas l'davar hazeh. That next world was created for the purpose of giving a person pleasure, a spiritual pleasure. Ach haderech kedei lagia el mechoiz chefzeinu zeh. How do you get to the next world? You have to go through this world. And if you choose the right decisions, and you do mitzvahs, you will get that ultimate pleasure. V'hu masha amru chazal. That's what the chazal said in last week's perek, perek dalid. Ha'olam azeh doyma l'proizder b'fnei olam haba. This world is like an anteroom in front of the world to come. When you come into somebody's house, you don't walk right into the kitchen or the living room, but there is a little area, which is called a proizder, a little hallway before. On this side is the living room, on here is the dining room, ahead is the kitchen, etc. So that this world is like that entranceway into the next world. So what Rav Schlesinger pointed out is that Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato taught us there are two things. There's oineg and idun. And then he said, umakoim ha-idun hazeh is olam haba. So we know where idun is. But he didn't tell us where's oineg. He forgot all of a sudden oineg. He says the whole purpose of a world is that a person should have oineg. Shehu tainug amiti vo idun hagadol. And where's the place of the idun? Next world. Where's the place of the tainug? He doesn't say. So we're going to find out where the place of the tainug is. So first he began with a unbelievable Vilner Goyim. We all know this is something which we say at every Seder. Why did Klal Yisrael go out of Mitzrayim with matzah? Why couldn't they have bread? Ki lo yachlu l'smameya. Matzah zeh shoma. We pick up the matzah. Why am I eating matzah the Seder? Because our parents, our forefathers, did not have time to make bread. Ki lo yachlu l'smameya. They couldn't wait. They chased them out of Mitzrayim. We had to run out. And everybody knows what would have been wrong if we would have walked out or we would have taken a few more minutes. No, because there's 50 levels of Tumah. We were on the 49th level. If we would have waited another second, we would have been in the 50th level of Tumah, and then we would have been so impure that we would never have been able to leave Mitzrayim again. That's what every father tells his son or his grandson, granddaughter at the Seder. Not everyone, this will come as a shock to many people, that not everybody agrees. The Vilna Gaon does not agree to this. Except for the Vilna Gaon, where do we get that there are 50 levels of Tumah? Because we find in the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Chad Omer Nun Shari Bina Nivru Boilam. There's 50 gates of wisdom in the world. V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe. They were all given to Moshe, Choser Echad, except one. Sh'nemar V'techasreyu Ma'at Melekim. You are one less than a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In other words, Hashem is on the 50th. Man can reach the 49th, and Moshe only got up to the 49th. He couldn't get to the 50th. So just like there are, we know Hashem creates good and evil, one opposite the other. Just like there are 50 Shari Bina, so too there are 50 Shari of Tumah, one against the other. But the Vilna Gaon does not agree to this. And he learns it from a pasuk, which says in Mishlei, "Call Paul Hashem Lamaneu." Everything Hashem did in this world is that there should come out from people a covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam Rasha L'Yom Rav. Even a Rasha on the day of evil, from him can also come out covet Shemayim, honor of Hashem. How? When you see how a tzaddik, you see the tzaddik prevails, and the Rasha eventually meets a terrible destruction, eventually gets destroyed, as we've seen with all dictators and anti-Semites at the end, they get what's coming to them. So from that itself also comes out a covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk says. Says the Vilna Gaon, the word kol, chaf lamet, 20 and 30 together is how much? 50. Says the Vilna Gaon, ki nun share bina nivru bo'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom in the world. Vishar hachamishim loinizgala adbiyas agoyim. The 50th gate of wisdom will not be revealed until the coming of Mashiach. Shehu yisoid alma decheres. It is the foundation of the world of freedom. Whatever that means. There's a certain world called world of freedom. I don't know if we'll be able to explain it today. Maybe we'll get to it. If not, mitchum next time. Vahainu, kila sitra acher, einoi rak memtesh are tumah. So the Vilna Gaon says distinctly, the other side, the power of tumah, has only 49 gates. Vishar hachamishim einloi, the 50th gate it does not have. Vikasher nismale, kola memtesh aloi, if all 49 gates get full, and it's up to the 50th, it will totally be destroyed. And that's, so according to the Vilna Gaon, in good, in Bina, in holiness, you can get up to 50. Kol is Gematria 50. Kol Paul Hashem L'maneu. But, by the Rasha, Vigam Rasha L'yoyim Ra. What's the Gematria of numerical value of Vigam? Mem is 40, Gimel is 3, and the Vav is 6. That's 49. By Russia, it's only Vigam. That's only 49. So what does the Gra mean? So a Talmud of a Talmud of the Gra was a person who wrote a sefer called Nachlas David. The Nachlas David brings another pasuk. Vigam ze le'uma ze osa lekim. Hashem did good and evil one opposite the other. Says the sefer. You know when there's gates, good gates versus bad gates? That's only, again, Vigam. What's Vigam? 49. But when you get to 50, there's no bad against the good. And he explains. What's the pshat? Because bad can only exist in this world if it has a little good with it also. If it's totally bad, then it can't exist. Then it gets destroyed. And what fills in its vacuum? The good fills in its vacuum. So in other words, when you get to to 49 levels of tumah. So the kedusha that's in there is very, very small. When you're gonna once you reach 49 and you're about to go to the 50th level of tumah, at that point there's no more good. If there's no more good, the bad can't exist. If the bad can't exist, it disappears from the world, and then in the vacuum that's left, the good comes in and it becomes totally good. So when you get to the 50th level of bad, you're back to square one where you started, which was the 50th level of good. Up till 1, 2, 3, up to 49, as long as the bad, it's a little bad, 1, 2. At 49, it's a lot bad, but it still has a fraction, a little piece of Kedusha. It can survive. But when you want to jump over 49 into 50, then you will have no good. If you have no good, then the bad can't exist. Vacuum, and all the good comes in. This is what how the Sefer Nachlas David explains that this thing. Now, in the 50th Shar of Bina, says the Ran, and other Mephoshim say the same thing, that there you have Hashem himself. Up till 50, you can have good and bad mixed together. You can have good on one side and lo'umaz v'gamze lo'umaze. You can have bad facing the good. But when you get to 50, there you have only Hashem. And Hashem is echad. There's no division. There's no pirud. There's no machlokas. There's no separation. There's no mixture of good and bad together. There's no good versus the bad. There you have only good itself. Okay, unfortunately, we don't have time to finish, but Emir Tzashem, we will finish next time.